Hey, welcome to Sacred Wisdom. Today I'm speaking with Meredith Lee Ball. She's had an exciting spiritual journey. She was even lucky enough to travel to Nepal to study and train with Himalayan healers to learn Nepalese Ayurvedic massage.
That's
So tell us about that. That sounds interesting. I wish I could have done something like that.
It was amazing. My favorite way for life to unfold is serendipitously, and I'm so lucky that some of the most important things in my life have unfolded that way. And I was working at Elements Therapeutic Massage just out of massage school, and it's my second career. And I knew I was needing a journey after a very close friend of mine passed away. And it was something that he would do. He was an adventurer. And I was just, when I was just looking up online to see any continuing ed courses that may have involved travel. And the Himalayan healer showed up. And the picture that actually showed up, it looked like me with the Himalayan mountains there. And it was just that one of
Wow.
those chill producing
Yeah.
moments. And I continued to look into what was happening. And the whole story behind Himalayan healers is to help the untouchables of Nepal. And Rob Buckley was the gentleman who started it. And he was getting such resistance from the government that he knew that he was on the right
Wow,
track. If you get that much
yeah.
resistance, there must be
Yeah.
something good and
Right.
important there. So he saved a lot of people that the Maoists had, taken and abused, and they'd just been through some horrible times. And he used school to heal them and teach them and give them lives that they never would have dreamed of before. And so many have houses now and families, and they're practicing massage. So I got to go learn this technique that would have been lost if Rob and another Ayurvedic doctor didn't find these scrolls with the whole Nepalese Ayurvedic routine in it. So they opened it up. He wanted to invite other therapists to come, and only three of us tapped into the program, and two of the women were from Australia, and then there was me.
Wow.
And I wasn't certain how I could find the money to do it. And what was also amazing was that he offered a payment plan to travel. I had never heard of a payment plan for a trip like this.
No, me either.
I got to pay $200 a month for, I think it was a little over a year, but it allowed me to access the trip right away. And then my dad was awesome. He had frequent flyer miles, plenty of them, to give me a round trip ticket to Nepal. And so that's how I got to go there. And everything just flowed. And I look back now that there was still part of me that had a layer of resistance to fully accept what was happening, where I was almost saying, like, why me? Why do I get to do this? And so I can't wait to go back and reconnect with everybody to fully let everything in.
Right.
But I traveled there by myself, and I felt the most freedom taking off from Dulles Airport. It was just beautiful. It was beautiful. And I got there and I met the other two women that were in my group and met all of the people. And we got to study at different, they have different, they're different spas that they have around Nepal. And the places that we got to travel to was Menang. Culture. It's in the Himalayas. So I got to be on the Annapurna circuit, which some people will recognize the Annapurna circuit. We did fly from Kathmandu to Pokhara, and then we flew on this little plane where I had to get in the plane in the back. Then they put the luggage in on top of me, and then the other four people could get in. And then we trekked up to Menang and we stayed there for a few days learning this ancient art, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
And it's something that I've wanted to teach here. It was amazing. It was amazing. I still go back there often in my mind, and I do have a few regrets of that block that I had about me letting it in for myself and not worrying about what people were going to be thinking of my being there.
Yes, but living in the moment. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It took a few, it probably took about 4 days to slough off the Western energy, if that makes sense. Just to kind of let go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little more about your journey, about yourself.
I love people. I love talking with people. I love listening to their stories. And I guess part of me too, in that, the reason why I like that so much, I want to be heard as well. And most of my life I've been pushed aside and dismissed. And it's something I fight for a lot, but I have not till now have I found the energy to let go of what other people think. Yeah. It's amazing how long that can take us to get to. The last 10 years have been an intense time for me. It started with a car accident that was a very strange car accident. And I had a neck injury that was not detected by the medical doctors. And I had an atlas subluxation. And it's called the great imitator for a physiological, and it really affects your nervous system and every system and even the form and function of your body. So I was going to the chiropractor often just to keep working. And it took a dive into my spiritual connection because I was asking why. Why is this happening? I was just starting my massage therapy business, which is Trinity Therapeutic Massage. Mm-hmm. I had just started and I was so excited. Why was this happening? And then I was getting even sicker and Lyme disease took over. So I must have been infected, I think, over 20 years ago. But my body got to a point where I couldn't fight off the infection anymore. And so they took hold and started affecting me greatly. So I went on the whole treatment protocol with antibiotics and just a whole bunch of stuff. And you know, the doctors, you almost feel like you're doing something illegal because so many people don't believe in chronic Lyme. And you have that edge on you because you're feeling like you're doing something wrong by getting treated. And then the doctors are also ostracized. So that's a whole fun energy in there. And then I've been through several doctors and I would always reach a plateau. And during all of this time, I've gotten deeper and deeper into my connection and trying to figure out what God's plan is for me. And then diving deeper into the Catholic faith. And there was a long time I didn't go to church because I felt like if somebody's forcing me to go, that's not what God wanted either. God is everywhere to me. And so just trying to explore that. And for a time too, I still have a mom that says, did you go to church? Did you go to church? But not till the last 5 years or so, she doesn't ask anymore. But I go when I want to go or I feel comfortable going, and just opened up the spirituality of life is so much bigger than what religion is on earth. And I think so many people get into a box of their faith and they start suffocating.
Right.
And I knew I was. And there's so much more out there. And something I am so blessed to have, I receive signs from the universe all the time, most especially when I'm doubting.
Mm-hmm.
A validating sign will come in and be like, keep going, keep going.
Yeah.
I see messages and license plates. I they're all the time, and I've taken pictures of a lot of them.
But lately I've just heard that, I don't know if you've ever heard, like, it's a non-audible voice, but it's just that sense of a message coming through. Guide you.
Right.
And that's what people, the spirit talk to you. I'm like, it's not really an audible voice. It's just a message that translates into you. Mm-hmm. And you end up describing it as hearing them, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So one of my things that I tried to do in trying to move through this last 10 years of pulling away from getting suffocated to being open to be myself and to share and to listen was to trust my intuition, follow my guidance, and make a difference in one person's life every day. And that could be with a hug, with just a call, with just doing something outside of myself every day. Okay. And that's really helped.
Yeah, that's a great idea. If everybody would do that, the world would be a better place, right?
So it's funny, when I get connected, I get very, very warm. Mm-hmm. And this happens to me when I do massage. And it's happening right now. There's something bigger happening, mm-hmm. just in talking about. But when I would massage, I think it's when it started reemerging from when I shoved it down when I was little. It kind of reemerged when I was doing massage, mm-hmm. my connection. And I knew that I was a channel. I knew that it wasn't truly me. I was opening up, but I didn't have anybody to kind of teach me how to do that. Mm-hmm. So I still don't have somebody to teach me. So I'm learning as I go. Mm-hmm. But when I would do massage, I would see visuals. I would see pictures, and I would see even a picture of a word, would come through as I'm working on someone. Mm-hmm. And I would never tell them unless they mentioned something about what they experienced. And then I asked their permission, can I tell you what I experienced? And every single time it was right on. Yeah. And it made them very emotional. It made them able to release something even more than just what the body work was doing.
Right.
But I know we hold all of our emotions in our tissues and our cells. And so it's all linked together.
Right.
But I got scared. I got scared of that. And I don't want to call it a power because I don't think it is. It's a gift. But I got scared of it because I didn't know how to manage it. Mm-hmm. Just moving further and even doing our current launch and scale. Mm-hmm. During the first free thing, I was seeing people put their ideas up, and the same thing was happening to me that happens with massage. It was like this opening up and a flood of images. So every time I was reading somebody's post, all of these images were flooding through, and it was overwhelming for me.
Wow.
But it was in the form of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Not it was ideas, and they weren't, it was really coming from what they were saying, the ideas that were flowing through to them, for them. So that was very interesting. I always called myself an idea junkie, like that word. So now I'm calling an idea channeler.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but I don't know. How do you market that? I have no idea.
Yeah. I have a similar problem, like what I can do, like with my healing and kind of intuitive reading the chakra and what caused the imbalances and all that is kind of hard to market and hard to explain to people.
I know. Mm. I mean, they can feel it. They sense it. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand it. And most of So from when I started with design, and I did design and construction for over 17 years, as I shared, and mm-hmm. I said my whole life, though, I think I've been really inspired and driven by form and function, mm-hmm. why things work and how things work. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's a building, a body, spirit. And so just diving into how things work and then also explaining to people that there's science behind spirit, and there's spirit and science. I mean, it's all connected. And I know we hear that, oh, it's woo-woo stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, that woo-woo stuff. And people are defective. And with the COVID issue, isn't it interesting that people are being forced to believe in something they can't see, but because it's deemed negative, they believe it.
Right.
But then on the equal and opposite side, there's spirit and there's energy frequencies, there's bioacoustics, there's crystal healing, there's all of those things that people can't see, but because it's on the opposite side of the spectrum, they tend not to believe it because it doesn't feel weighted.
Right.
And I think, yeah.
I was going to say, there's even like that, like an area of spirituality, the sacred geometry and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And so many people say, do you have any number sequences that show up for you? And I just try to help people with it. That's your energy being, I'm using air quotes right now, being broadcast out, and it's coming back to you as those numbers to reaffirm what you were feeling. And I don't know if you've listened to Abraham Hicks, Esther Hicks.
The name sounds familiar, but not right offhand. I can't remember her name.
So she is someone who channels Abraham, which is a collective. It's not a one entity. It's a collective energy.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, when I was going to, it made me feel really uncomfortable, not so much for me, but what other people would think of me doing it is what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But when listening to her, it's done in a communication style. So it's in a group of people. She's at the room. She opens up to her channeling, and her story is amazing about her fear of beginning what was happening to her also. Mm-hmm. So it's conversation. And the flow of the conversation is unbelievable because it's right on and so clear and so grounded. And there's nothing that this entity doesn't know. Doesn't have to reference any books, knows history, knows spirits. It's amazing. But you can look on YouTube for Esther Hicks and Abraham Hicks. But what that opened up to me is that I feel like our earth, people are going into the heavier energies because it gives them a false sense of grounding because of the weight. And I think people fear going to that higher resonant energy because they feel out of control because it's lighter. But if I can help others realize that that energy is freedom,
mm-hmm.
And I think I had the struggle too, because I didn't know how to feel in control when I'm in that space, but I'm learning.
Just tell us, because you mentioned about your spirit guide, and I also have an older Indian spirit guide, but he is a Crow Indian. So I want to hear about your spirit guide and your connection with him.
Okay, I just got goosebumps. That was awesome. So I've had a dream since, I think it was when I was about 3 is when it started. And I've had it over and over and over again. And it wasn't until around the time of the accident, 10 years ago, that I had the dream, but it kept going beyond where I would always wake up. And the dream was, I was feeling chased, and there was a whole group of people behind me running. And to me in the dream, you know how in a electronic game where the ground keeps moving, so it looks like the it's moving, but the people are like, that's kind of what it looked like. But things were still coming, and then all of a sudden there was this wall that would come up. And that's where I remember looking back at all the people, and then I would wake up. But I had a lot of fear, a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. So then the dream that happened 10 years ago, I kept going through it. And maybe it's because of my determination to break through. I needed to. So this wall comes up. I turned around and I looked at everybody who was coming at me. But all, I'm going to cry now. But all of a sudden, they started lifting me up over the wall. So they were never chasing me.
Wow.
Lifting me up over the wall. And that was just amazing. And the lead that was always there was my Indian guide. And he's shown up in all different costumes for me, made me laugh. And I never really told anybody about him until, remember that show Dharma and Greg?
Yes.
Do you remember? I love that show. And she had an Indian guide and she called him George. And I never knew his, I never knew what to call him. So I kept calling him George. And then his name came before the whole dream moved forward. But I was, so in my design stuff, I was doing a friend's massage studio and I was painting. I do murals. And so I was painting. She wanted the Sedona Desert. So this whole wall looked like you were sitting on the flat part of one of the Sedona mountains and looking down into the desert. And I was painting and just enjoy. I'm in meditation when I paint. And so over the course of 2 days, she's like, well, let me give you a massage before you go home. So I, cause I was traveling, it was a few hours. It was from Maryland to New Jersey. So she was getting the room ready and she ended up putting red sheets on the table because her laundry service, she mixed up her personal and her professional sheets. So lavender or white, but she said something pushed her to just put the red sheets on the table. So I was like, okay. And then she said, I wanted to put some Indian flute on music for you. Is that okay? I said, absolutely. So I was laying on the table and the vision was my Indian guide sitting down to the left of me in front of my painting playing the flute. And I've seen him young and old. I don't know if you've seen your guide young and old before, but I saw him young. And then, And then there was a point during the massage that my friend, I felt her hands change and her whole energy change. And I felt like it was him coming in. And then he, his older self, and was standing to the side in the room, just sitting there. And so the massage was done. My friend went out, I was getting changed. And just this thought came through my head without me thinking about it, came out. I said, do you know what Muscawa means? And she's like, no, but we'll Google it. And we started laughing about how Google is now a term that we all use now.
Right.
I was just really curious. It wasn't even, it was just a flow of thought. It wasn't, I didn't really think about it too much. So we went back to her house and she goes, what was that name that word that you said? And I said, Muscawa. So she can be a little busybody and she got on her computer and was typing it in. And what she put in there, I said, I think you spelled it wrong. She's like, no. And she kept looking. And I said, can I just get in there? Can I just get on your computer? And so she said, okay. And it was Muscua. And that's what I put in. And I clicked on the images and the image that popped up was him.
Wow.
And I looked further and we were looking further and it said something about red cloud. And I was like, oh, I guess that was part of the red sheets being on the table. Yeah. And then finding that he was a Powhatan Indian. And now there was another red cloud too. So there was still some confusion for me, the connection with the two, but it's been defined a little bit more. But basically this Gawa was more of a medicine man, Indian, who took care of his family, but he was also a higher, like royal rank also in their, I can't describe it, but it's a tribe. And then when I looked where the Powhatan Indian was, lived, I was born there. I was born in Fort Belvoir, Virginia, which is right where they were all living. They had a broad area around Virginia. And then I remember my parents called me their little American Indian baby when I was little, because I had really dark, dark black hair, a ton of hair, and my skin was really dark. And they just loved calling me their little American Indian baby. And so Mescal and I call him, but I always heard I can still call him George. He likes that too. And he showed up in an Elvis costume before to me, and like,
oh wow.
Just and I always, I feel bad sometimes too, because I forget to call on him, but all I ever get is that I'm always here. Don't ever feel bad. Don't ever feel like you're neglecting me, because you're not. I'm always here. And that's my Mescal. And I've gotten to tell that story more, and people are receiving it more instead of saying, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah, I think 10 years ago, people would have definitely thought that. Everybody's kind of opening their minds. There's more of a progression of, I would say, a growing vibration throughout the earth during this time. So
I think so. I feel like we're in a really intense evolutionary period that has been going on for at least 7 years, but it's been intense now. And part of me, I have really respected and loved the energy of Martin Luther King. And I feel like he must be like putting his hand on his head saying, when will you guys get it? When will you guys get it? We're finally evolving into content of character, and forget all the labels and just connect with people's energy and where they stand in that, and not default to a label, right? And I guess we're the pieces of coal being crushed into a diamond right now, and it's really intense. Really intense.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, thank you for letting me share my Indian guide story, because he's special, and knowing that you have one too makes me feel good.
I love that story. That's great. Great. I know, I like hearing other people's stories too. It's so fascinating.
It is.
Do you have anything else that you would like to say about yourself or anything before we end the show?
I feel like I've talked too much already.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me. And hopefully I can have you on again soon.
That would be great. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. You have a great night.
You too.
So just to wrap things up for this episode, being spiritual is more than just being religious. It encompasses a lot more than you learn in church or in Sunday school. You can learn to grow and raise your vibration and help to heal others in the world. I just want to thank Meredith again for joining me. And you all have a blessed night. Thank you so much. That's your sacred wisdom for today. This is Laura signing off, and I'll talk to you again soon.